This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is the Daily Tip on the BetQL Network, presented by BetMGM.
Welcome back to the show. It is the Daily Tip for BetQL, presented by BetMGM. Great to have you with us on a Thursday morning. Nick Ashew alongside, coming up during Hour 3, a look ahead to the weekend's action on the hardwood. We'll look at the West, the East, wherever we want to go. We'll do that at 8:20. What is next for Bill Belichick after that story that came out yesterday on ESPN? We're going to find out when we chat with Mike Cadillac, who covers the Patriots for WEEI. And then at 8:40, the Donkster covers no one, but he will hand out his favorite plays of the evening. So a couple days ago, I was complaining because Bank of America, well, I paid for some home repairs. It was $175.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about this.
And it was punched in as $1,750.
That's wild.
And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And so I call, it was a mispunch, right? I call Bank of America, and I'm like, listen, this is an error worth more than $1,500. This needs to be corrected. Well, thankfully, the person that put in this mispunch, this handyman, whatever, it was corrected. They corrected it immediately. So it sort of self-corrected. I wake up yesterday, and Bank of America has decided, you know, let's go ahead and charge you two different $30 fees for a stop payment.
What?
I'm like, hey. I called them yesterday, and I said, two things here. Number one, this was one transaction, so why are you charging me twice? Number two, how do you stop a payment that has already processed? And she was like, well, I go, because the payment went through. So how are you stopping? Why am I being charged for a stop payment when the payment processed and self-corrected? I'm going to talk to my supervisor.
Oh, there you go.
There we go.
Every time.
And you threw out the extra charge, like, and you charged me twice. So I got one taken off immediately. They're reviewing the second charge.
Yeah. So I,
oh my God.
I'll just say this. They're not a sponsor, but I'm going to try to just tiptoe around this the best I can. Used to work with that bank. A lot of fees. Don't anymore. Learn the hard way. Yeah. So that's all I'll say. Hope they're not a sponsor. If you are, do better. That's what I'll say.
Seriously. Oh, my God. I was not pleased with that.
So you're going to be dealing with this for a while.
This is
going to be a prolonged experience. Right. You did nothing. It's because of someone else, and you've got to deal with the crap now. There's nothing worse in life than when somebody else screws up, and you've got to deal with the consequences of somebody else screwing up when you did everything right. Hate that.
$60 because I called and said, hey, this is not the correct amount, but that's on me.
Yeah, why would you be charged for anything?
Right.
Why would you, for somebody else overcharged you, and then your bank is like, yeah, we're going to take a little bit of your money so we can fix this other person. What?
I know you're concerned that you've lost some money here, but what we're going to do is we're going to make sure you still lose some money. Awesome. Thanks, guys.
We're going to give you a lot of the money back, but we're going to take some of the money for the inconvenience for us for doing what we do.
And also,
stop making me do my job is what they're saying.
Thank God I'm always checking my account, which I don't know what that says about me. Like, am I broke? Am I broke? Am I broke? But I try
it's
to keep
fiscally responsible.
Yes, and I'm like, what is this?
Oh my! Because God. Fraud can happen at any moment.
Oh, there we go. There's your PSA.
There
right
you go.
And also,
the more you know.
What was it? About 3 or 4 years ago, I did have fraud happen to me where someone cashed a check. I don't know how they got. They had a fake check with my information on it and cashed it in, like, Tennessee for, like, $3,000.
Oh, yeah.
And it cashed. Bank of America cashed it. And then I filed a fraud complaint. And they're like, we're going to take care of this immediately, Mr. Jenkins. I was like, thank you. 2 weeks later, I've heard nothing. The money's still gone. And I call back. And they're like, we're sorry. This wasn't processed correctly the first time. I'm like, awesome, guys. Awesome.
I have had multiple times where random charges. I think everybody at some point in their life has had a random charge on their card that shows up.
Yeah.
And how it's handled matters so much.
That's
I will
percent.
Say this. One of the banks we use, and you know what? I can say something good. USAA is fantastic. Instantly hit you up. Calls, texts, everything. They take the charge off, send you a new card. I've had that. And I don't know if I've actually ever been... Maybe I have been scammed by one of these. I watched a video on Instagram about this.
Yeah.
I know watching a video on Instagram can lead to a lot of things. It can be completely stupid. But this actually was really... I learned a lot about how people do it.
Yeah.
They have a... You know when you go to like the gas station... Now they have a lot of, obviously, the touchless pay,
yeah.
But like they have the insert card, outsert. It's like a silver-looking thing usually.
Yeah.
So people will take one that actually scans your credit card information, and they put it directly over that like silver-looking slice.
It's like an
thing.
Overlay.
Skimmers.
Yeah, it's
They're
a skimmer.
Skimmers.
And you don't. It looks exactly the same. You have no idea, and that's how they get your information. Every time I've been had my card information stolen, it's been some crazy charge at like gas stations. Hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And it's just crazy. So you have to check on that stuff, because if you're not, you may have no idea. There's stuff now where you'll get stuff on your card and it'll say there was an Amazon purchase.
Right.
But it doesn't say like what, and my God, we have Amazon boxes coming to our house every single day. So like if you just see Amazon on there, you're not paying attention to like it's something you ordered or not.
Yep.
$50, yeah, we probably spent it at Amazon, $100, yeah, maybe we did. You don't know. So yeah, you gotta check that kind of stuff, man.
Plus we need betting money.
Damn straight.
We need betting money. So let's go into the NBA, because I know you love betting on the NBA. I've been
The last couple nights have made me not like it so much. If we're being honest here.
So Nick, I'm gonna give you the stage here. Do you want to start Eastern Conference, Western Conference? We got a couple of play-in games tomorrow. Where do you want to go?
Let's
here?
Look ahead to those play-in games
okay.
tomorrow to start, because those are the most recent ones. Because you know, tomorrow we're gonna look ahead to the weekend. A lot of weekend
yeah.
games. This is like the first weekend in a while. My wife and I are just gonna like have a free weekend. I don't think she realizes the NBA schedule this weekend. So there's that. She hasn't paid
free
attention.
Weekend.
I'm explaining the play-in tournament to her. She's watching the game with me last night, and I'm like, oh yeah, by the way, do you know it starts this weekend? A lot of playoff. games. And by the way, the first round lasts like a month anyway, so that doesn't help.
Right.
It's the longest first round.
It goes
ever.
On forever.
No, we don't need 7-game series in the first round. I love the NBA, but I'm like, we can go back to 5 and be just
yeah.
fine.
We forget that the NBA goes into June.
Yeah, right.
You know, right? Like it's
the
April.
Playoffs start now. It's April 18th.
Yes.
And the finals are in June.
Exactly. Got a long road. All right, so what about Friday's playing game and we'll go west and we can go back to the east here. Kings, Pels. And Kings laying a point and a half. Kings
mm-hmm.
minus 120 in the money line. The Pels were even money total set at 213 and a hook. That has come down 2 points from 215 and a half. And if you're going to handicap this game, Zion Williamson out with a hamstring injury. Suffered that in the play-in game against the Lakers the other night. Had 40 points in that game. So he was unbelievable. You were talking earlier in the show
mm-hmm.
about how he slimmed down, gotten more serious about his training, keeping his body right. It's shown. But now, the irony is, his body has failed him, at least in this instance. So do you go with Kings based on that alone, or how do you handicap this
it's,
one?
It's, first off, it's tough for the Pelicans to lose Zion. I think that's an understatement, to
yeah.
say the least, especially with the shape that he's gotten in, the way that he's played the second half of the season. Again, I'm still mesmerized by the fact that he's lost 25 pounds
Crazy.
Since that loss to the Lakers that kind of woke him up in the semifinals of the in-season tournament. But with no Zion, you still have a lot of talent on the Pelicans. It's just who steps up.
Mm-hmm.
You need more from C.J. McCollum. You're going to have to. C.J. McCollum needs to go out there and hit at least like 5 or 6 threes.
Yep.
He is their deep threat, one of their deep threats. You need Brandon Ingram to now get to the level where he's the playmaker. And you need him over 4.5 assists because he had 4 last game, and that killed me too. And that felt like the easiest bet in the world. I think he'd gone over 12 of his last 15 games, and of course he has 4 assists, and I took the over 4.5. So that's, again, that is how the play-in tournament has been
works.
For me for a majority of this right now. But you're going to need now Brandon Ingram to step up in the
mm-hmm.
sense too. You've got some great on-ball defenders, especially a guy like Herbert Jones, who is just, I mean, Herb Jones is a monster for them, and you're going to need that with just you're going to need those mismatches where De'Aaron Fox is going to have to take on an even bigger role,
yeah.
right? You're going to have DeMontis Sabonis is going to have to dominate inside. You're going to need second chance opportunities. One of the best rebounders in the NBA. You're going to need DeMontis Sabonis to get them second chances when Kevin Huerter and Malik Monk mm-hmm. are not going to be playing for Sacramento. Those are big losses. Kevin Herter's taken a step back this season, but that's a big threat for them from the outside. Malik Monk, probably going to be sixth man of the year. You lose Malik Monk. Those are major weapons that the Sacramento Kings have. One of the best offenses in the NBA. You're not going to have those guys out there. It's just, I just find it very tough for the Sacramento team to win this game with those two guys out.
Yeah.
Even with my, and you mentioned it before too, the inconsistencies of the Pelicans. The
yes.
Pelicans are still a more talented team, and they've been a better team this year. Losing Zion is going to be a major problem for them, but they've also won a lot of games when Zion has missed time or been mm-hmm. kind of non-existent for them as well. So I like the Pelicans in this. I'll be honest, I'm not overly comfortable on a side. I probably would stay away from a side in this game and
yeah.
just look at some props. Who's going to step up with the absences? I'd go right back to De'Aaron Fox points once again, DeMontis Sabonis, PRA, and I'd probably look at a bounce back game for CJ McCollum too, who had a great end of the regular season, even over Brandon Ingram, who you know came back from injury. They're kind of working his way back.
Yeah.
Ingram assists. Again, I'm going to go back to some of the props that didn't hit in the first game because I think they'll be in a better spot this time, especially with Zion Williamson out. It's CJ McCollum. It's Brandon Ingram is like two of the biggest ones to really keep an eye on here.
By the way, how good is DeMontis Sabonis?
He is fantastic.
Shouldn't he yeah. be getting it? Isn't this a, I feel like this is, he's playing in Sacramento,
mm-hmm.
which is obviously not a big market, and also he's out west. So there tends to be these late games.
It doesn't help.
It doesn't help.
It doesn't help the
but
narrative at all for him.
This guy is unbelievable at what he does and probably one of my sneaky favorite players in the NBA. I love guys who are just absolutely crushing it, who can do a little bit of everything. He
yep.
continues to improve after being drafted by the Magic. And yet he set record after record for double-doubles. But
yeah.
here he is, and we sort of treat him like, yeah, he's a really good player. He's an exceptional player.
He has been somebody that it's one of the rare times in the NBA because remember Tyrese Halliburton was traded from Sacramento to the Pacers for DeMontis Sabonis. That was part of the trade. Buddy
That's
Hield
right.
was in there too. It's one of the rare times where both teams have won those trades.
Yeah.
Like that was one of the rare times where each team needed something different. They swapped players that fit their roster better and they both have worked out for them. DeMontis Sabonis is one of the best bigs in the NBA.
Yeah.
And you're right, doesn't get enough credit with the type of player that he is. I was going to go back and look at like his PRA over the last few games just to kind of see where he is because it's set at 40.5 right now. And if you look at actually what he's done, though, this is what's tough with him. 11 of the last 15 games, he's gone under that number. So he's actually tailed off a bit
yeah.
from what we've saw through a majority of the season. 7 of the last 10, he's gone under 40.5 PRA as well. Now we're talking 38, 46, 32, 26, 47, 38. So he's been kind of a roller coaster.
Yeah.
You're going to have to get a complete game from DeMontis Sabonis in this, along with De'Aaron Fox just lighting it up, one
yeah.
of the most clutch players in the NBA. That's what you're going to need from Sacramento. Because both teams, right, it's who's going to step up in the absence of blank. You got a couple guys out for Sacramento. You got Zion out for the Pelicans. Whoever has somebody step in and take on mm-hmm. an extra role, that's going to make the difference in that game. That's close. I think I probably will stay away from taking a side in that, though.
We also get the Bulls and the Heat tomorrow. The Heat are laying 2.5 in the East. The Heat are minus 140. The Bulls are plus 115. The total is 208 and a hook. So looks like Jimmy Butler will probably be out because he tweaked that knee. Hopefully he's okay. Looked like some sort of MCL sprain. And they played such a good game against the Sixers last night, but certainly the complexion of that game changed when Jimmy played but was not the same. But without Butler, and I assume he's not going to play here, I think you still like the Heat, correct?
Yeah, I do still like the Heat because of Heat culture. And damn it, I'm going to keep saying Heat culture because
it's
on the front of their jersey that they have. I don't care if Eric Spoelstra doesn't
That's
like it.
That's how you know it's true.
That was the weirdest press conference ever when he got frustrated with people asking about the great culture they've built in Miami. It's like, what? Why would you get frustrated
right.
by this? It made no sense to me. But look, Terry Rozier coming back, hopefully, and we don't know whether that's going to be the case. We don't mm-hmm. know his status. Missed last night. Been out since April 7th with a neck injury. That's a major boost for Miami.
Mm-hmm.
He's somebody that really came on after struggling a ton when they traded for him at the deadline. He's now kind of figured out his role.
Yeah.
You're going to need that. And again, this also goes into now with some major injuries like a Zion being
yeah.
out. It's also who steps up for Miami in that sense. And if it's not Terry Rozier, let's say he's out of that game. I still like Miami,
mm-hmm.
but you need Tyler Hero. You need Tyler Hero to put up another 25 like he did last night. You need that outside shooting. Miami didn't have Tyler Hero for majority of their playoff run last year. Chicago's got guys like a DeMar DeRozan where in the right sense can kind of take over a game. He's not the DeMar DeRozan that he used to be.
Yeah.
I still like Miami. I like their playoff experience. I like the team that they are, even without Jimmy Butler. Bam Adebayo is a guy that you look at probably for a double-double in that game. Look at take the over maybe on his points in that as well. He's going to have a bigger opportunity, bigger role offensively without Jimmy Butler. Miami's just a better team, and they're well-coached. Eric Spoelstra can out-scheme.
He's one of the best.
Anybody. Billy Donovan, he's got no shot against Eric Spoelstra when we're talking about a coaching matchup.
Well, and also, when you look at the Bulls for a second, and I know it's not as big of a name, but Alex Caruso left that game last night.
Yeah. Yes,
and
that's a good point.
He's absolutely critical when it comes to playing defense, as we know. Mm-hmm. So he had a left ankle injury, and if you're talking about someone who may not get the same pub as DeMar DeRozan, for example, but he's a crucial part of the Bulls team, and now him being out, I think, sort of leans me towards the Heat as well.
And that hurts you defensively.
Yes.
I mean, he's a scrappy guy that can lock down just about anybody, and he's physical, he's tough. That it sets the tone defensively for the Bulls. And like you mentioned before, Bulls, one of the worst three-point defending teams in the NBA. Tyler Hero out there knocking down threes, that's going to be tough for them to stop.
Oh, I'm talking myself into the Heat.
Let's do it. Heat culture, baby. Let's go.
Coming up next year on the show, will Bill Belichick ever coach again in the NFL? Will Tom Brady ever play again? Will they reunite? Oh, God, we got to pump the brakes. We'll talk to Mike Havlick from WEEI in Boston. It is the Daily Tip from BetQL, presented by BetMGM.
The Daily Tip will be right back on the BetQL Network, presented by BetMGM. Welcome back to the Daily Tip on the BetQL Network, presented by BetMGM.
Welcome back. We're in the middle of hour three of the Daily Tip from BetQL, presented by BetMGM. Oh, that's sweet. I'll let it grow out. I got nothing else to do. Get older, like, I don't care.
I would love to see you with a mullet.
I had a mini one at one time.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started, well, not a mullet. I take that back, though. When I was in college, my sophomore year,
mm-hmm.
I was just a ghost. Like, I was one of the few people that had a dorm room by himself.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an all-guys dorm at Texas. And I've told the story a few times where everyone had a roommate except for me. But my room, because of the setup, was before you went down to the hallway to all of the rooms, mine was next to like the mailboxes as you walked in. It looked like a storage closet. So I can't tell you how many times I would have people like pull on my doorknob, like, what's in here? What's in here?
It's my room, damn it. Get out of here.
And I'm not great at, once I get to know people, I'm good, but initially I don't think I'm good at it. And so I was walking, and so I didn't know anybody. Like, I was studying all the time, and it took me a while to start acclimating from such a small town. And I remember two guys are at the mailboxes getting their mail, and I want to get to my room, but I'm like, well, I'm going to wait. And they start talking about me.
No.
Yeah. And so I'm standing behind them, and one guy looks at the other one and goes, hey, man, do you know the guy who's in that dorm room? And the other guy's like, no, man, nobody's ever seen him. He's like some sort of hermit or something. And I was like, oh, God, that's me. It's me. And so what I did was I stood there, and I waited for them to go down the hallway, and then I, like, scurried in the room. Like, yeah, okay, I'm here. Swear to God. Yeah. Good memory. I was, and finally.
You had your own room, though. That's pretty great.
Well, that's because my roommate my freshman year was doing, like, crack. And, like,
that's not good.
And his girlfriend was always coming over. And I'd be like, where's Adam? I don't know. I'm like, so you're just coming over to hang? This is like a small room. And so you just sit there. And I'm like, well, this is weird.
I got to get out of here.
So I told my mom, I'm like, I need. And I didn't think I was going to get it. So I was one of the randos that got like the room by myself.
Yeah.
Which was nice, but also maybe not good for me and my social development. I was the hermit that year.
Well, you know what? You're not shy anymore, so that's good.
That's true. For a while there, I was like, and I swear to God, that whole year, I still don't know a single person from that dorm my sophomore year at Texas.
Well, you know what?
Person.
They weren't worth it.
That's right.
They didn't deserve to know you because they said mean things about you.
That's right.
There you go.
The hermit. let's bring in someone we do want to talk to. Mike Cadillac. He covers the Patriots for WEEI in Boston. Also host of the Six Rings podcast. That's at Six Rings Pod. Mike, good morning to you. How are you?
What's going on, guys? The skin-crawling stories of the freshman, sophomore years of college is just – it brings you back to some uncomfortable things. But I'm glad it all worked out now, and I'm glad we're all sitting here talking to each other now.
Well, luckily, yeah, there's lots of ones that we probably can't talk about on the air either, so we'll just save those for, like, the break or something like that, which I'm sure everybody's got, as we know, right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. So, Mike, it's crazy that we're talking about Patriots, former Patriots – right now, in the middle of April, but here we are. So I wanted to get your initial reaction to this Bill Belichick story, and how big of a divide is there, and what is the reason for the true fracture behind what seems to be this, you know, this separation between Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick?
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating reading the story from ESPN yesterday, and I mean, Seth Wickersham is sort of a villain around these parts because everyone thinks he just tries to, you know, throw the knife and, you know, divide Brady and Bill and Kraft, and everything he says has sort of comes true. So I have no reason to not believe what was written in that story where Kraft basically told Arthur Blank not to hire Bill Belichick, and whether that was the reason he wasn't hired, you know, again, you read further into the story and apparently Falcons executives didn't even rank him in their top three. So, but long story short is Look, I just think that it didn't work here. There was cracks in the foundation, and there was cracks in the foundation early on, and we saw that throughout the Dynasty docuseries. And so I just think it was, you know, ultimately it was time for them to part ways here. And I don't think that that's necessarily, I still don't necessarily think that, you know, the Patriots and Robert Kraft made a mistake. Now, can Bill still coach? It seems like he can. He seems like he's ready. He spoke with the Nebraska football program for 4.5 hours last week with Matt Rhule. He went on the Pat McAfee show yesterday and looked as spry as ever. And so I do still think it was time to move on here. But again, reading that story, it starts to make Robert Kraft and ownership look worse and worse, you know, really by the day and by the week.
I think, Mike, we know that when type A personalities are in the room together for 2+ decades, eventually people are going to start to bump heads and have arguments and have frustrations. I mean, I think we kind of heard a lot of this stuff over the last couple of years, so hearing more wasn't really a big surprise. But, you know, there was a surprise that he didn't get the Atlanta job. So hearing more about what happened with this, because I think most people, at least I know here, I don't know necessarily up there if you guys felt the same way. I thought he was going to get that Atlanta job. The question now becomes, you say he think he could coach again, but do you think he does coach again? Because he's going to be 73 when that 2025 season opens up in the NFL.
Yeah, I do. I still think a team that is close enough, call it Dallas next year, call it Philly if, you know, they can't get it together, would bring him in for sort of a 2-3 year stretch run where you still have some talented players under contract, and all you need, right, is to get over the hump with that coach. Now, I agree with you. I thought Atlanta was that team this year. You look at, you know, the players they've drafted over the course of the last 3 years, all on offense, and guys like Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson. Then they go sign Kirk Cousins. Like, that almost seems like the perfect scenario for a guy who's just going to be there 2-3 years, just like Kirk Cousins is, with basically still a busted Achilles, right? And so that sort of felt like the prime spot. He doesn't get the position. But yeah, I do think a team like Dallas, where, you know, they're trying to figure out CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott right now, and they're a really good team, but again, can't get over that hump, and it kind of seems like they continue to blame Mike McCarthy. He's now in a lame duck season. Jerry Jones, I don't know if he's really the biggest fan of him, but he's also not a fan of firing coaches, and you saw that as they strung along Jason Garrett for 8 and 8 seasons down the stretch there for the end of his tenure in Dallas. So I do think he coaches again, and I do think it's not going to be a rebuild, but I think if a team sees themselves as close enough to a Super Bowl and they want to bring him in for, you know, 1, 2, maybe 3 years, then I do definitely think that he's still on the table for some teams.
We're talking with Mike Cadillac, who covers the Patriots for WEEI in Boston, also host of the Six Rings podcast as well. Mike, do you believe that Bill Belichick is really able and willing to give up the control that we keep hearing about? I know it's said that, oh yeah, you know, he's lightened up a little bit, you know, he's willing to just be a head coach. But is that really the case? Because when you're hardwired a certain way and you've had so much success, I would feel like that it would be hard for him to acquiesce in that area.
100%. I don't think so. I think he's genuine in his approach where he says he would be open to it, right? Like, you know, when we spoke to him at the end of the season, he was asked whether he would, and this was while he was still employed with the Patriots, whether he would consider giving up personnel control and just coach. And he said, yes, like, I'm willing to and open for new ideas, and I would listen to, you know, the guys in the room more. But when it comes down to it, right, and you're sitting there with, call it the number 3 overall pick this year, and you are going to listen to your scouts, they're still going to kind of succumb to the power that is Bill Belichick in the room, right? Like, it's hard not to. And so, you know, you could give up control, but you still ultimately, you're Bill Belichick. You're going to have authority, yeah, right, in that room. And so I look at what happened with Atlanta, and when you read that story, he said he just wanted to coach and that he was willing to work with Terry Fontenot and Rich McKay and those guys. But when it comes down to it, when he gets his foot in the door, who's going to say no to Bill Belichick if he wants player X over player Y, right? Like, I know I'm not – I wouldn't have the balls to do that. I don't think a lot of people would. So it's – I think he genuinely is open to new ideas, but at the end of the day, if he wants something, he's going to get it, and I think he's going to pound the table for it.
Yeah, that's just laughable, I think, to me, thinking that, like, Bill Belichick's just going to be like, yeah, guys, do whatever you want. I haven't won any Super Bowls or anything. I don't have any of that experience. Let's look at the draft with this Patriots team now. I mean, there's obviously going to be a ton of rumors about teams maybe considering trading. Everybody lies this time of year. It's lying season. When it's all said and done, Is it most likely that the Patriots take whatever out of the big three quarterbacks? Maybe more likely at this point it's looking like Drake May at number three?
I think so. A lot of this J.J. McCarthy smoke and, you know, trading back and Minnesota's on the horn, right? Like, at the end of the day, if a guy like Drake May is sitting there, I don't see how you can pass that up. It's just, you know, there are, call it 3 10-pole needs that this team has right now in quarterback, offensive line, and wide receiver. And Drake May is the best prospect available at the time. I know that all of a sudden he's sort of falling off draft boards and, you know, he's not as pro ready. And I see that. I mean, he's going to need some time to develop, but you have a guy like Jacoby Brissett in the room. You have Alex Van Pelt, the offensive coordinator, who can use the skill set he has to sort of, you know, develop him into that offense. You see it on screen right now, right? With the betting odds, Drake May is the favorite to be the number three overall pick. And I see that happening. And even if it is Jaden Daniels, I do still think they'll ultimately pull the trigger. They've done a lot of work on these guys. They had May, they had Daniels in last week for visits. Now if Minnesota calls up with a godfather offer, right? You know, pick 11, pick 23, call it Christian Darrisaw and another first round pick. Like, you can then fill tackle, move back a little bit, and they've done some work on JJ McCarthy. So I think they're still open to listening, but when it's all said and done a week from today, I do think that Drake May ends up as the next quarterback of the New England Patriots.
Well, since we're talking about Patriots quarterbacks, let's go to one former Patriots quarterback. I cannot believe I'm asking this question.
Ask it. Do it. Let's go. God, I can't wait. It's happening.
I hate myself for this.
I love you for doing this.
God. Tom Brady. Thomas. Yeah. Edward. Yeah. Patrick Brady. The third, whatever. Sure. He keeps. Is he just bored, Mike? What is he really seriously thinking about? Maybe coming back if the time is right at the end of the season, or is he just throwing out things because he has nothing else to do?
So there may or may not be a column dropping on Friday morning on WEI.com that outlines what the Patriots would look like with Tom Brady.
Yes, buy it in. I love it, my friend.
It's the week before the draft, and you got to get the juice, the creative juices flowing. You can only talk about Drake May for so long. So, you got to have fun with it, right? You got to take it for what it's worth. And is he, you know, just sitting there getting his hair cut, you know, shooting the breeze with the guy? Probably. Like, I really don't see him coming back. But look, he mentioned Jordan, and he mentions that still having that fire. He still works out. He has this deal with Noble. He's doing his TB12 stuff. Like, he's in shape. And so, you know, he also did just get divorced last year. Like, yes, he has his kids, but he's kind of probably just sitting around like, why don't I just go play football again? I can still do it, and I'm still the best. So he's obviously the most competitive, ultra-competitive athlete we've ever seen, and he's the best NFL football player ever. If he can still play, why not do it? So, again, is it really going to happen? No, I think he's leaving the door open for a team like San Francisco to call him up, and he can just flirt with it. And you know, it helps his, at the end of the day, it helps his brand to kind of always be open to playing. But, you know, he's coming back to Foxborough June 12th for his Hall of Fame ceremony. And wouldn't it be something if instead of signing a one-day contract, he signs a one-year contract? And, you know,
Now you're teasing me. You're getting me all excited. Then they bring Jimmy Garoppolo back, too. And we have Jimmy G there with Tom Brady. Oh, I would love this. It'd be amazing. All right, besides the Tom Brady thing, which I'm going to wait on that column. I'm not going to let you spoil anything that's going to be out, but I want to read that when that comes out. What are the expectations for this Patriots team heading into now the post-Bill Belichick era? We got about a minute or so here.
Yeah, it really feels like, honestly, a build for 2025, right? You can't expect too much this season because you have the third pick, and then you're probably going to either develop Drake May or whoever it is and use Jacoby Brissett for a year and kind of just build your foundation back up because it had sort of crumbled over the years. And so it's not, you know, I think I came on this show before last season and I probably said I thought the Patriots were going to like 11 freaking games because I was just confident in it for some reason and it failed. But I don't see it this year. I don't think there's much to not that there's not much to look forward to, but wins wise, I just don't see it. I mean, 5.5, the under's juiced on screen right now. Like, I would probably take the under. You have another good pick next year. You continue to build that foundation. It's really about building the culture back up from what sort of deteriorated last year with the fall of Bill Belichick here. So
he covers the Patriots for WEEI in Boston, host of the Six Rings podcast. Follow that on X at Six Rings Pod and follow him on X as well. It is Mike Cadlick. Mike, Great stuff, and I cannot wait to read that article.
Yes.
Thanks, fellas. Thanks for having me.
You bet. I love that he leaned right into it. That's perfect.
You have to.
Yeah.
You do.
You do.
And listen, if there's anybody that can come back and play at age 46, it's Tom Brady.
It's unbelievable.
What a full circle, though, if he came back and just played one more season. You know, and like, develops Drake May a little bit. He came back, you're the starter, and we just want to help you, like, coach him up. Like, that'd be an incredible story, honestly.
I mean, who amongst us has not gotten bored with the money and the models and the islands and the retirements?
Hey, you can date models and still play football. That's kind of what being an NFL player is.
That's what Tom Brady does.
He did it then. He can do it again.
Coming up next, when Nick is in studio, basketball is in the air, but where are our best bets going? That is next on the Daily Tip from BetQL, presented by BetMGM.
The Daily Tip will be right back on the BetQL Network, presented by BetMGM. Welcome back to the Daily Tip on the BetQL Network, presented by BetMGM.
Welcome back. The Daily Tip for BetQL, presented by BetMGM. Give me a little something, Double D. Great to have you with us on a Thursday. Nick Ashew here this week. You loved him. If you loved him late at night, you'll love him even more early in the morning. How you doing, buddy?
Tell you what. Polar opposite of a wake-up schedule, that's for sure. It's different.
Weren't you saying that you woke up like in the middle of the night and you're like, I'm starving? Like your body's just like all over the place?
Yeah, well, usually I try to like not eat till noon. I'm doing that like, you know, I do the cliche intermittent fasting thing. I know everybody does it, but it does work. Plus, yeah, I got a trip coming up in a couple weeks with the wife, so you know, want to
nice.
You know, it's I'm not 25 anymore, so you know, slimming down, getting ready for summer takes a little more effort. Usually, I won't eat. I'll go to the gym in the morning, and then I won't eat till about noon.
Okay.
I am starving at like 4:30 in the morning, and I don't know why. My body is like, hey, we have a schedule, and you're not following it right now. Like, I am very, like, regimen-oriented, schedule-oriented. I wake up, have some coffee, get some time. I'll kind of read over, do a little bit of just light prep in the morning. Yeah. Maybe there's a couple bets that I like. Maybe just have some time outside in the sun. Get your morning sun. I'm that dude, right? I want to have that routine. Get to the gym, get home. Everything's backwards now. Everything's backwards. I mean, just it's wild how your body just gets confused and like, hey, this is different. What are we doing here?
So what are you going to do for the rest of the day? I always ask Chelsea this. Yeah. She gets annoyed with me. She's like, Jenks, what do you think I'm going to do? I'm going to take a nap and I'm going to go to the playground with my kid, which I understand. But now that your schedule switched up, you're going to be off. You're not accustomed to this. You're off at 9. What's going on?
I'll probably go home. I took a nap on Tuesday. I crashed on Tuesday. Yesterday, I kind of like tried to doze off. It wasn't really there. I'll see today kind of how I feel. Go to the gym and just try to like, you know, then the rest of the day is, you know, what's good is that like you can get prep done for this show in like early to late afternoon.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's done. I'm looking ahead to the NBA games tomorrow. And honestly, man, there's pros and cons to it. I will say that it really like it throws you off. Some people don't like need a strict routine and schedule every single day.
Yeah,
I've become that person over the years, and I like it. So when it's changed, I don't like having to think about what comes next.
Yes,
like I know what I'm doing and I'm good, and like this is what it's gonna be. And if I had kids, obviously it'd be different. We don't have kids, so like I don't have to worry about kids' schedule changing things up or anything. I'm very much into that. And I see some of these routines, like Mark Wahlberg wakes up at like 2:30 in the morning every day. Oh, he wakes up super early, meditates, gets to the gym, works out for like 3 hours. Again, he can work out for like 3 hours because that's like his job, which would be, that'd be awesome. I'd love to just be able to do that every single day. But like, some of these people that wake up like super early, you have that like they're up early, 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 and it's just you shift it. It's just wild how like you take time to really adjust doing something, especially when when I'm my normal schedule, and the show starts at 7 Eastern, BetMGM tonight, check that out. We're done at 11. Also, 4 hours versus 3 hours. Let me tell you, 3 hours with you, my friend. This has been
been
a breeze. I'm like, wait, we're done? I don't have another hour to go. That being said, I get home, like, I can't just fall asleep. I'm a light sleeper. It takes me time. Yeah. My wife can just conk out. I'm like, really? I wish I could do that. So I get home. I kind of unwind. I'm watching a game or maybe just something mindless. Like, I'll put on The Office or just something I can kind of start dozing off to. Have a little tea, you know, just relax. Yeah. Unwind a little bit.
Absolutely.
But I'm falling asleep at, like, 12:45, 1 a.m.
Okay.
And that's, like, so think about it now, where I am. And I'm waking up about 8. If I get about 7 hours, I'm golden.
Yeah.
6 is a little bit iffy for me. 7 is like a sweet spot for me and a good night. So, like, it's not, that has not been this week at all. I'm like, I'm just glad I haven't said anything stupid on the show where I think I haven't said
you've been great.
I haven't dropped any F-bombs or anything, so that's good because you're in a little bit of a daze. Like, it's just, it's a little foggy.
If it makes you feel any better, yesterday, I told everyone on national radio that
cars is spelled with a C instead of a K, just to clarify.
But kids, it was spelled with a C.
Yes, I think I pretty much topped off there.
It could be worse.
It can always be worse.
It can always be worse. So, you know what? Take it as a blessing.
Coming up next on BetQL Daily, Seamus McGee, who is a trader for BetMGM, will join the show. If you missed our great chat with Mike Kadlec from WEEI in Boston and his take on the latest Bill Belichick drama. Also, he's got an article coming out soon.
I can't wait.
I can't either.
What the Patriots will look like with Tom Brady. He's like, I'm just going to lean into it. I mean, really, they've got to be having a field day with that up in Boston. Because there's a certain point, like you said, you can only talk about Drake May for so long. I love this draft. I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
But there's a difference for us on a national show really being able to branch out more versus our colleagues upstairs that are doing DC Sports Talk, where there's a lot of Jaden Daniels, Commanders number two pick, and Magic Johnson trying to get Bill Belichick to come to the Commanders. Like, we got a broader
of course he did.
A broader amount of conversation that we can have here.
If Mike is a real journalist and he gets to interview Tom Brady, what he should do is say, Tom, before we get started, and give him a heart. Be like,
No.
I'm so glad you're here.
So uncomfortable.
I'm so glad you're
here,
Tom.
That was the most uncomfortable soundbite I've had to listen to on a show in a while. Like, it's just, if you start doing that to me, we'll get along just fine. Oh, just,
God. We might have to play that every day for like a week.
Bill's going to go do it. He wants to go play. No. All right, fine. If you really want to play it, if people haven't heard it, I'll accept it. It's just so, it's so uncomfortable. Like, I just, what are you thinking?
Oh, my God.
Caitlin Clark handled it so well, though.
She did. That's the worst. Okay, I guess we got to hand out some bets. Let's do it.
Time to place your bets.
Look at this, ladies and gentlemen. Nick Ashew, NBA expert, with a little baseball today.
Yeah, I'm mad at the NBA and the props market. It's kicked my ass the last two nights. So I'll be doing some work on that today. I did take the Rangers money line. It was at even money. Some places you're looking at a -110 against the Tigers right now. Now, you've got the debut of Jack Leiter, who is, this is a guy that obviously has not pitched in the majors, don't care, a lot of hype, a lot of excitement around him. The Tigers' offense has been absolutely terrible recently. Yes. They're in the bottom five in baseball in runs scored per game, hits per game, batting average, on-base percentage, slugging percentage, OPS, and home runs. All of it. Bottom five for all of those things right now. This is a time where it is fade the Tigers. The offense has been horrific. I know we've got a young starter out there for Texas right now, but to get the Rangers at even money there, I like it. I'm going to take it. Again, there's a -110. I got it at even money. The screen says -110. No big deal. We got multiple places where obviously sometimes you shop around. 2.6 runs per game over the last five for Detroit. They stink. Detroit is bad. I'm fading the Tigers today, and I'm hoping that the betting gods are nicer to me because baseball worked for me yesterday. The NBA props market was a little bit of a disaster because nobody seems to want to play the way they did in the regular season in the playoffs, and we got Jimmy Butler getting hurt. Nothing makes sense.
Yeah.
So I'm going to reset, my friend. Today is reset for me with the Texas Rangers.
Let's go. I love that pick. Can't wait to see Jack Leiter pitch. I've been waiting to make this bet for about 3 days, fading A.J. Puck. He was supposed to start on Monday, I believe. His start kept getting pushed back because he's sick. Well, now he is going for the Marlins against the Cubs. I'm going under 5.5 strikeouts for A.J. Puck at -154. I cannot believe this number is so high. He hasn't gotten to six all year long, and he's had an awful season. He's been beat around in three starts, ERA of 5.91. He hasn't gone more than 4 2/3 innings all year long. So how in the world is he going to get to 6 strikeouts? He's not. Under 5.5 strikeouts for A.J. Puck, -154. And if he doesn't perform well against the Cubs, I don't think he does, like the Cubs on the money line as well. I think he goes back to the bullpen where he belongs. Any more picks? No?
No, because I told you I'm purging today.
All right.
Today, there's some days where I just say, you know what? I need to slow the train down just a little bit.
I agree.
There's no NBA tonight. I'm going to slow the train down. I'm going to reset. I'm going to get back in. I'm going to dig a little deep. I'm going to have some good props tomorrow. We're getting back on it. Because everything
I
give out doesn't hit. And then the ones that I don't give out, like, it doesn't even matter. I'm not going to think about it anymore. Garrison Matthews threes goes over. That was plus money, too. I hit that, and it's like, well, I didn't tell anybody about it, so it didn't happen. That's the way the rule is. I don't want to be held accountable anymore. Stop this. I'm tired of being embarrassed.
I
I'm better at this in the NBA. I swear.
I'm anti-accountability. Anti-transparency.
Yeah, who said we have to be professional?
Yes.
It's not in my contract.
Come on, have you listened to this show? Yes. Let's do your BetQL five-star best bet. Guys, you know the drill. For trends, analysis, articles, videos, everything you need to become a more educated bettor, you can download the BetQL app. Dogster in studio. This is your time, buddy. Go ahead and tell us what's on the docket today.
Good morning, Nick. Now that Chelsea's gone, you're my new best friend. I want to move into your house and watch the NBA play-in games this weekend. My favorite player is Jonte Porter.
Ow. Well, Dogster, that's... can't... you know the deal.
He likes to bet like me!
Yes, but now he's gone. That's... I think you need to find a new player. Give us your bets, please.
Okay, Dad! Let's talk hockey! Blackhawks at Kings, under six. Sharks at the Flames, under six.
Okay, two unders. Very good. Let's find out what's coming up next on BetQL Daily. Good morning, Chris Mack.
Get over the face. Voice.
How are you, buddy? Oh, we don't hear you. Oh, we gotta get you in here. Come on.
I was just gonna ask Nick. Like, are you happy you got up early for this?
Listen, I will never be able to not laugh at that voice. That's all I'll say. And the face that the Dongster makes, not Jenks, of course, because it's the Dongster talking.
Right.
I'll never be able to gain control of my laughter there. I'm just going to tell you that now.
Chris, I we've been talking about, obviously, the biggest story of the day is Greg Doyle. And have you seen this? Have you? Oh, there it is. Thank you. There it is.
The heart.
That's what we wanted. I just want to say, and I mean this, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're here.
Well, you know, Jenks, if you do that to me every time, I'll show up more often.
We're going to get along great. I'm so glad you're
this
here.
This didn't get creepy, did it?
We embrace creepy on this show, but I will be honest with you. That was next level. I wonder if it's one of those things where it comes out of his mouth and then he's just like, I immediately regret this decision. That was weird.
I think that's the thing, because from what I know of Greg, not a terribly bad guy. That just was a really weird, awkward moment.
Make sure you give Aaron the heart later and make it really uncomfortable on the show.
There
you
go. Oh, look at
Hi, Chris.
Oh, please make that your avatar.
Freeze that.
Thanks, Chris. Also, the ring endorsement of not a terribly bad guy.
Yeah. Not the worst.
Not the worst.
Yeah.
That's it for the Daily Tip for BetQL, presented by BetMGM. He is Nick Ashew. I'm Michael Jenkins. Have a great Thursday.
You've been listening to The Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM. If you missed any of the show, listen back anytime on the new and improved